My name's Martin Gao, and this is my beautiful wife, Lenore Gao, and we hail from Reengage at the Plano campus. We normally meet there every Monday night, so if you guys want, feel free to join us there. We've been married for about 8 years and have two wonderful kids together. Logan is 5 and Helen 3. I was born as an only child in China. My parents were career-oriented and were gone for a large part of my young childhood, leaving me to be raised by my grandparents with very little discipline. During that time, I developed patterns of self-dependence and self-reliance. I would beg, lie, cheat, and steal to gain popularity and leadership amongst my peers. When I was almost 10 years old, my parents moved us to America, hoping to straighten me out. It was hard leaving everything and everyone I knew to live with my parents, who were essentially strangers. I was at a new school, didn't speak the language, and was now living in a low-income neighborhood. In spite of this, my parents still expected me to excel, and I desired to meet their approval, even though they were both working and never around. Deep down inside, my feelings of abandonment, low self-worth, and fear grew more every day, and I was only able to block out those feelings and function by developing an airtight system of compartmentalization.
I grew up in New Orleans, Louisiana, with an older sister and a younger brother in a very strict Jewish household. We went to temple on the weekends for Shabbat services, as well as religious school. We were never allowed to ask or talk about Jesus. From this, I gained a strong moral foundation and a desire to know about God and who Jesus was. My home life was very volatile. My parents fought often, and this would escalate frequently to fits of rage and acts of violence. As a middle child, I assumed responsibility for keeping the peace. I was overwhelmed by this situation as a 7-year-old, and it got to be too much for me to live with. I tried to commit suicide that year as a way to escape my home life. God had a different plan for me. Not long after this, I met some new neighbors who shared the gospel with me. This changed my life. I still didn't know Jesus, but I wanted to, and this gave me more motivation to go to college, where I could pursue the questions I had about Christ, ones I could not explore at home.
So my pattern of compartmentalization continued until I graduated college. At the time, I thought it was a good thing, dealing with my emotions as a complex, educated individual. Little did I know the lasting effects of my compartmentalization. I slowly became a honeycomb of emotional triggers, ready to blow at any time. It wasn't until after college when the melancholy of the daily corporate rat race drove me to a small flourishing church in Austin that I started dealing with those feelings. My new friends shared the true love of the gospel with me and led me to Christ. And as I slowly unpacked my baggage with those men, it was the first time in my life the real me took a part in a community of my own peers. I involved myself in the church and swing dancing and began to dive in the world of the Word of God and His people. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come."
Towards the end of high school, I started swing dancing, which eventually grew to become a large part of my social and financial life. While at college, I started attending church and reading my Bible. I knew that Jesus had to be the true Messiah, and I committed my life to Him. When I told my parents about this, they disowned me and cut me off. Matthew 10:37 says, "Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." I stayed in school as long as I could after that, but the cost of books, living, and tuition all became too great. I ended up having to drop out of college and work full-time in sales, as well as teaching dance to make ends meet. This eventually led me to a decision to move from Louisiana to Austin, Texas, where I would be able to teach dance locally and advance my career in sales. I knew a dancer in Austin that owned his own house and would rent out rooms, so I called Martin up and I asked him about becoming his next roommate. Just 3 short weeks later, I moved in with no intentions of dating him. 4 months after that, we were dating.
So after a decade of living in Austin, I felt completely at home. I bought a house that was more like a hostel, hosting everyone from traveling friends to the homeless. In 2007, I took a leap of faith. I quit my job and to finish my graduate degree, which resulted in me having to borrow money from my parents for short-term living expenses. Money was tight at the time, but I felt close and completely at peace with God's plan for me. So when Lenore asked to stay with me, I did not have any hesitations. And as I got to know her, I found a compassionate and detail-oriented person with the same passion for God as I had. She had a rough childhood like I did, and we connected on many levels. Even though I had resigned myself to loneliness and never had any intentions for my new roommate, God was changing my heart. I soon said yes to him and asked her for permission for courtship. It was all part of his plan. Matthew 13, 45 and 46 says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it."
By this point, I would still call myself a Christian, even though I wasn't accountable to anyone at the time and hadn't attended church in over a year. Martin would often ask me to go to church with him, but my retail schedule rarely allowed me to go. As our relationship progressed into something more serious, I decided to move out, wanting to remain pure for marriage. We dated a year and a half, some of it long distance, and we were married within a year of our engagement. We moved to Dallas and eventually found Watermark, our new church home.
After a prolonged job search, I got a job offer in Dallas. I dreaded the idea of pulling roots once again, moving away from my church, my friends, and the place where God had saved me. I felt I had to take the job because it was God opening the door to me finally proposing to Lenore. In the end, I chose Lenore over Austin. So with my sign-on bonus, I bought the ring, proposed, and we were wed 6 months later. Moving back to Dallas, however, meant that I would be moving closer to my parents, pursuing a new career, and had no accountability for godly counsel. My old fears and insecurities quickly returned, and I once again began to compartmentalize my feelings and fears and stuff them inside. On the surface, everything looked fine. But deep down, all my old sin struggles came rushing back, more than ever.
I was filled with expectations of a wonderful fairy tale marriage. I knew the lessons from our premarital counseling were just a formality, and the hard work everyone warned us about was going to be a breeze. We had talked about kids, religion, and money, and we were aligned on all of it, so I thought we were good. The honeymoon ended as quickly as it began. I soon found out I was allergic to our birth control, which made intimacy very difficult and challenging for over a year. This only added to the early stresses of our marriage. Meanwhile, we started to immediately have disagreements over money that included my student loan debt, as well as a debt he had to his parents. About 4 days into our marriage, I started considering divorce and eventually told him about it. I couldn't believe the words were coming out of my mouth. I was convinced I had made a huge mistake. He had deceived me into marrying him, and I would be paying for it for the rest of my life.
Our marital problem started the day we said our vows and continued for years afterwards. Difficulties in our early marriage included not having boundaries with my parents, cultural and language differences, unmet expectations, and communication issues. Now it seemed like we were so different. I perceived her detail-orientedness as OCD and verbalized her verbalized concerns as nagging. Without any community around me, I was at a loss on how to unpack my emotional baggage with my spouse and how to lead in my marriage. To make things worse, Lenore was asking pointed questions about all the deep fears and insecurities I carefully hidden over the years. My self-defense mechanisms lashed back at her by yelling and invalidating her concerns. Instead of breaking down my compartments and sharing with my wife, it was easier to pretend our marriage was fine and she was nitpicking.
We decided that the next step for us was to look for godly community to help us get better at this marriage thing. We joined a foundation group, but we were still flailing. I had heard about Reengaged and asked Martin to attend, but he refused for many months, saying we didn't need it and it wasn't for us. One evening, we got into a huge fight, and Martin said he was leaving me. I begged him not to leave and agreed that I would do anything for him to stay. His parents were pressuring us to start having kids, but I wasn't ready. This was his condition to stay with me, so we started trying for kids. We didn't tell anyone about that fight for months. I grew resentful and depressed as time passed. we decided to reach out to our leaders of our foundation group about the state of our marriage, and they advised us to attend Reengage. Martin finally agreed to it. Proverbs 13:12 says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but longing fulfilled is a tree of life." I was extremely skeptical about Reengage and came only to assure myself that I had done everything that I could for my marriage because we were beyond hope. I rated our marriage at a 1 on the first night, and he rated it an 8 out of 10. We seemed to be looking for totally different things, and he was unaware of how miserable I was. We were an open group for months before finally getting into a closed group. While we waited for the real help that I knew closed group would provide, God started to change my heart. I stopped dreading Reengage, and I started looking forward to the worship and the testimonies. I told myself that if God can redeem their marriages, then I can have hope that he would do the same for ours. I stopped putting my hope in Martin, and I started to turn to God, and he was waiting for me all along. Once my hope was no longer in my husband, but on the unwavering rock of God, my hope and joy returned. Proverbs 26 says, "Many a man proclaims his own loyalty, but who can find a trustworthy man?" Through the communication tools we learned, I was finally able to tell Martin that I wasn't ready to have kids, and he heard me, so we stopped trying. The other blessing through that time was that we were finally able to enjoy intimacy when we stopped using the birth control that I was allergic to. Our time in closed group helped me to realize that I was putting Martin before God. An example of this would be my expectation for my husband to make me happy instead of the Lord. I also believed the lie that marriage was to make me happy. I've since learned it's to make me holy. Proverbs 27:17 says, "As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another." We learned many other lessons during our year and a half journey from our first night to our celebration night. Things like draw a circle around yourself and fix everyone inside it, as well as other communication tools. We learned how to communicate, and we really had to focus on that. When we weren't being careful, we learned quickly that going back to old habits produced old results. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. Albert Einstein.
It was many weeks after we started attending Reengage when I made my own breakthrough. Weeks of listening to the testimonies and going through the lessons that inspired me to search my own heart. With the help of the Holy Spirit, I realized I was contributing to my own marriage woes by not sharing and communicating with my wife. I also realized that I had hidden many fears and frustrations so down deep inside that I didn't even know about them. With the help of our close group and my wife, I took the scary journey of breaking down some of my mental compartments and sharing it with others. A floodgate was open, and I was an emotional mess for months as I unboxed feelings of fears and insecurities that I had hidden for decades. God was faithful in walking with me, and instead of the mockery and criticism as I feared, my confessions of deep-rooted insecurities and sins were met with love and encouragement. I recognized my patterns of internalizing and hiding my feelings for the first time and sought accountability from others to avoid it. Today, after relying on God and working on my own issues for over 5 years, I still have a long way to go. I now see and trust God's plan for me. In addition, I have gained a new partner, my wife, in my struggle against the enemy. We keep short accounts with each other, are quickly to identify our own issues, confess, and forgive each other. We're more in love now than ever before and look forward to growing old together. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future."
Looking back at that time, I remember feeling raw and emotionally drained week after week as I dug through old hurts and deep emotional wounds. I learned as a child, unless you bury your pain, it will consume you. I learned as a daughter of Christ that he doesn't want you to carry around those hurts, buried or otherwise. He wants you to lay them down at the foot of the cross for him to carry. My advice to everyone is that when it gets hard, throw yourself on God's mercy and grace and allow him to strengthen you. Jeremiah 31:25, I will refresh the weary and satisfy the faint. The best things happen when God is in control. I trust my sovereign King because he is trustworthy.
If this is your first time at Reengage tonight, I just wanted to say that with the help of God, your marriage can also be sweet. We understand that it's hard sometimes and the hurt is very real, but there is still great hope for your marriage. God uses all of our baggage, our hurts, hang-ups, and despair to show us his plans for our marriage. No matter how different or distant your spouse may seem right now, there is hope. God is sufficient not only to restore your marriage, but to also sweeten it with hope everlasting. Thank you guys very much.
Thank you.